Thank you. I'm happy to be here today. It's good to see each one of you. I know it's Mother's Day, and it's a beautiful day outside. And I'm thankful that each of you have chosen to be here, not because I'm speaking, but just because I'm thankful that you're here. So welcome, everyone. In the name of Christ, it's good to be here. Okay, we're going to do things a little different today. I don't know how long I'm going to keep you. If it's 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes, okay? If it's an hour and a half, it's an hour and a half. I don't know how long. We're going to have some participation from the audience, and then I got to be straight with you and up front. This is not a Mother's Day sermon. When I was asked to preach, I started thinking about what the topic or the scriptures around the sermon should be. And one story, random story, kept popping in my mind, so much so, in fact, I'm not kidding, so much so, in fact, that throughout the week, all I could think about when I thought about the sermon was this one story. I couldn't even think about associated scriptures with it until yesterday. It was like some writer's block. I don't even know how to explain to you. So guess what? I'm going to read this story, and we're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. If it's not for you, so be it. But we're going to talk about it because I feel like this is what I'm supposed to talk about today. And again, apologies that it's not your typical Mother's Day sermon. However, I hope you were listening this morning. I really appreciated our brother David's sermon and some of his points in there. In fact, are some of the ones that I'm going to make today as well. So I'm going to provide you. Oh, one last thing. Each one of you in your pockets, most of you, have a phone. And on that phone, you have your Scriptures app. If you don't have your books and you're not using your Scriptures app, I'm going to walk around with the microphone and I'm going to have you be the ones that's got to read the Scriptures. We're going to do lots of reading today. We're going to do lots of flipping back and forth. So this is not a slideshow sermon. This is, again, the book sermon. So if you got your Scriptures, if you got your app, if you got your phone, get it open. Let's get reading. Let's follow along here so that we can get this context for the story done right. And where I'm going to start is I'm going to give you a little bit of history about the book of Numbers. Now, I could go into the history of this story, and we could be here for 3 hours. We can go down to the littlest, minute, pedantic detail that you could find. Well, I'm just going to give you a little bit of overview. This is straight from, I have a Nelson Study Bible. This is straight from this section that's called Historical Setting. Bear with me. It says Numbers should be read in connection with Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Obviously, the first, almost part of the first five books of the Bible, including with Genesis. So Exodus 19:1 tells of Israel's arrival in the wilderness of Sinai in the third month after the Hebrews left Egypt. From the third to the 12th months, they received the Decalogue, instructions for building the tabernacle, and directions concerning the many details of the sacrificial system set forth in Leviticus. Then in Numbers, the people of Israel are taught how to function as a camp. Their religious, civil, and military economies are set in order in preparation for their journeying, worshiping, and conquering as a nation. The sequence of events in this book is follows, and this is where we're going to pick up. The sequence of events in this book in Numbers as follows: from Sinai, Israel journeyed north to the wilderness of Paran. I have no idea how to pronounce that, and I'm not going to pretend. And that's where we're going to pick up today. I want to start in Numbers chapter 10. We're going to get a little bit more historical context for this. So Numbers chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. And I'm just going to read two of these. I just read you this historical context. We're picking up right here. Numbers chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. It says, "And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran." If someone knows how to say that, please feel free to correct me. We're going to skip ahead to verse 33. And we're going to read four verses, 33, 34, 35, and 36. It says, "And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, 'Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. So this is setting up the location of the story, setting up a little bit of historical context, and this brings us to the story I cannot get out of my mind. We are going to read, I know it's a random story, Numbers chapter 11. This is where we're going to start. This takes us to the story, Numbers 11. And I'm going to start off and I'm just going to read the first three verses. Numbers 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. These are not idle words. You may want to do a deeper dive into the word complained. Well, it means complained. They were complaining. The word in Strong's in Hebrew 596 is only used in one other place, and that's in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 39. And coincidentally, we're going to go read that in a little bit. What they complained about, I don't know. But it was enough that the Lord sent fire down among them and burned whatever he burned on the outskirts of the camp. And Moses had to go pray after the people begged him to, for the Lord to stop and show his mercies. The people complained, and it displeased the Lord. So, that sets up the context for the story. It's the story, it's a long reading, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come around, I'm going to take the mic here. I have two people that are in the audience already with the mic. I'm not going to tell you who they are. And I'm going to ask you guys to read, because I don't want to read all this, and we got lots of stuff to do. So let's see, who's got their scriptures up? Amisha already read, got scriptures right here. Neva's got it. I see Neva. You want to read, Neva? Okay, where is it? Okay, I see we're paying attention. All right. It's all right. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 11. Okay, then you're there. Okay, let's do verses 4 through 9. Numbers 11, 4 through 9.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, you got to use the mark.
And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of the bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it.
Perfect. Thank you very much, David. That was perfect. You even pronounced Dalium better than I would have. Okay, so here, this sets up the story. Most of us know in the audience now, that the Israelites were fed in the wilderness by manna. The Lord provided them manna. And here in verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? They wanted more. All right, who wants to read? 10 through 15, who's got scriptures? And Michelle got her hand up. All right, let's go 10 through 15, please.
Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a suckling child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it's too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness.
Okay, perfect. So Moses hears this. He hears their complaining. He sees this, and he goes to the Lord and says, why is this burden upon me? He hears the people saying that they want this flesh to eat, that they need, they are wanting this, they are longing for this, and he's going to God. And so God is going to do something for Moses. Anybody want to read 16 through 20? Anybody here? 16 through 20. Anybody? Anybody? All right. 16 through 20, please.
And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest will be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the Spirit which is upon thee, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. That thou bear if it not thyself alone. And they say thou, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. And ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, or 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it will be loathsome unto you, because ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt?
Perfect. Okay, so here's the Lord. He's telling Moses, he says, I hear you. I'm going to spread your burden out among the elders, the leaders of the people of the camp there. I know what the people are saying. And he says, do they want flesh? In verse 18, say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Prepare yourselves, because they will eat flesh. Ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat not 1 day, or 2 days, or 5 days, 10 or 20, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you. Because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? The Lord's heard. The Lord heard. He heard Moses' complaints, his problems. He heard the complaints of the people. They want more, and they were going to get more. I want to skip ahead. We're not going to read getting into this. We're going to pick this up at verse 31 through 35, and I'm going to read this. And there went forth, this is Numbers 11:31, and there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. The Lord gave them exactly what they wanted. You know, the burden of Moses was outstanding, and in my opinion, the Israelites really never let him off the hook. They were always getting after Moses for something. There's plenty of stories. If you want to mark it, we won't have to go back and read it. I don't feel like we need to go back and read it. I have it down, but we won't read it. It's Exodus 17, 1 through 7. You want to go back and read? There's a perfect example. Moses' burden was great. I don't envy his position that he was in, and they wouldn't let him off the hook. And he goes to the Lord with his burden, and the Lord took care of it. The Lord took care of it. And what did he do? He gave them exactly what they wanted. I want to go back. For reference, I want to go back. Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Okay. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, we're going to do some more reading. This is going to be verses 1 through 15. Exodus 16, 1 through 15. So I'm going to have Grandpa read this. Exodus 16, 1 through 15.
And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when they did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord had brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of God, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what we are, that ye murmur against us. And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye have murmured against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass that as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the God appeared in the cloud.
All right, I'll read the 11 through 15. Thank you. Okay, thank you. So this is the story that's setting up how the Lord is telling the Israelites he is going to provide this manna for them. He's going to provide this manna for them, this gift from God that is going to feed them in the wilderness. He's going to provide. Let's pick this up at 11 through 15. It says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto him, This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. before they were provided with manna, where the Lord was going to provide it for them for 40 years, he gave them quail. He gave them flesh to eat. The burden of Moses, once again, was heard. This murmuring, and the Lord answered. The Lord provided. He provided this bread. He gave them exactly what they wanted. However, now, what was once a blessing to them, this quail that was once a blessing to them, had now become a curse. The Lord provided. Right here in verse, I'm going to read two verses out of this. Verse 12. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speaking to them, saying, and even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. The Lord gave them manna miraculously. Every morning they would know that he is the Lord. And verse 15, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. He gave it to them. It was a miraculous gift. A miraculous gift. Take our reading here in Exodus 16. Go to number 16. The Lord provided, yet they lusted for more. What the Lord provided them was not enough. I want to go back just a little bit. This is Exodus, just a couple chapters before. Let's go to Exodus 15, 22 through 25. Exodus 15, 22 through 25. This is another time when the people, the Israelites, were murmuring and complaining. This is well before the story of the fire and the story of their quails, but I want to read 22 through 25. It says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently... Okay, sorry, in verse 25 it stops. They heard the complaining. Moses heard the complaining, the murmuring. The Lord provided. And what does he say in verse 26? And this is getting to set up the rest of the sermon. What does he say in verse 26? And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Wonderful promises to the people of Israel. The Israelites. I'm going to have Daniel, our brother Daniel, he's got a microphone in the back. Give it a second, Daniel. If everyone could turn to Deuteronomy, we're going to go to chapter 7, and he's going to read 6 through 21. Let's go Deuteronomy 7, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 6 through 21.
You ready?
Ready.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they are at left. And hide themselves from thee, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible.
Thank you, Daniel. It's a long reading. What amazing promises to the people of Israel. Absolutely amazing promises. There's sermons within sermons just in those verses in these chapters. The Lord is promising them wonderfully amazing things. He's chosen them to be a special people above all the people on the face of the earth. He set his love upon them. He's keeping his promises to them to 1,000 generations. What we just read, I hope you read yourself, amazing. Absolutely amazing things. We read these stories, I read these stories, and I think, man, the chosen people. Wonderful promises of biblical proportions. Yet the Israelites, as we read, murmured and complained all the time. They were stubborn. They were stiff-necked. They were prideful. Sometimes, in my opinion, not very bright. Time and time again, the Lord worked with them. Time and time again, the Lord showed them the way. Time and time again, the Lord spared them, and they just never got it. They just never got it. The Lord provided them miraculous manna from heaven, and they wanted more. They complained. They had to have more. Just in the next couple chapters, if you go from Numbers 16 even down into, or even before Numbers 14, if you go further into Numbers 16, on and on, you read these stories, the same pattern repeats over and over and over, and they just don't get it. I read these stories, and I just shake my head. I honestly just shake my head. You know, the funny thing is, someone was to read the story of my life. If someone was to read that book, they would probably think the same thing. Sit there and shake their heads and say, he just doesn't get it. Don't take what you have been given by the Lord for granted. The Lord is providing for each one of us. You know, if you go back and look at Numbers 11, I got to go back to it real quick. Numbers 11, speaking on this first verse that we read about the people complaining and displeasing the Lord, I was wondering what they were complaining about. I don't think anybody really knows. But going through some commentaries and also looking at more context of the story, I read something from Matthew Henry, and it states, "Interpreters inquire what they complained of." This is speaking of that first story there in Numbers 11. Interpreters inquire what they complained of, and truly, when they were furnished with so much matter for thanksgiving, one may justly wonder where they found any manner for complaint. Deuteronomy 8:4, you don't have to turn there, but that says that their clothes that they were wearing for 40 years did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. Everything they needed was taken care of. Everything. Is this not the same for us today? Sure. I mean, I wear holes in my jeans, the dog eats my socks, and I got to go buy new ones. And while ankles may swell, the Lord's provision of what we need is the same for us today. One may justly wonder where we find any matter for complaint. Now, reading this, it's natural to think the chosen people, the Lord's providing all these things for him, yet when the Lord dealt with them, he was quite, it was quite a substantial rebuke. But why? Why? I want to go to Lamentations chapter 3. If none of you have read Lamentations, or if you haven't read it for a while, I suggest doing it. Lamentations and Ecclesiastes, just as a side note, are good reads. I want to go to Lamentations chapter 3, and I'm going to read 31 through 41. These are short verses, so stick with me here. Lamentations 3. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good? Wherefore doth the living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. The header in my Bible for this section is titled, God Does Not Afflict Man Willingly. The Lord has everything done for his purposes to set us back in the right way. I want to read Deuteronomy. This is going to be Sam. Sam, if you'll read Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy, let me go back to this. Sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Give me a sec to get there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Sam, when you're ready.
Okay. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and feed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that ye may make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to hear him.
So here we have it. You read these things and you wonder what's going on. The Lord says he does these things for a purpose, to know what is in their hearts. He led them in those 40 years in the wilderness to humble them, to prove them, which means to test them, to know what was in their hearts. They were taken care of in all aspects of life and put through the tests to know what was in their hearts. Verse 6, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. The Lord gives the direction to his people, and he gives that direction to us. We should have this same expectation in our lives. Does the Lord not provide everything for us? Is the Lord also not proving us in our lives? Not taking us through these times where we could be humbled, where he can know what is in our hearts? But this comes with a warning. Sam, Deuteronomy 11, start there. Maybe we'll go through 20. Deuteronomy 8:11.
Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, that all thou hast is multiplied. Then thine heart will be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage.
And we're going to stop there. So four verses, 11 through 14, he says, okay, but don't forget this. Lest when you have, make sure to keep God's commandments, because when you're full, when you've built nice houses, when your herds and your flocks, your lifestyle, things that we have multiply, your silver and your gold, and all you have that is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. He's warning them exactly what to watch out for. This story should sound familiar to some of us. If you go to, you don't have to turn to it, but if you go to the fourth book of Nephi, there is prosperity. There is peace. Christ has came. He has taught the people, and they have more prosperity and peace than had ever been seen. Verse 9, and the Lord, this is in 4 Nephi 1:9, you don't have to turn to it unless you want to. And the Lord did prosper them exceedingly in the land, yea, insomuch that they did build cities again where there had been cities burned. Yea, even that great city Zarahemla did they cause to be built again. And it talks about all these times and these marvelous works and these amazing things that had taken place. In verse 4, and they had all things common among them. Therefore, they were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. Now, what happened later on in this story? The same thing that the Israelites were warned about. Verses 29 and 30. And it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, this is on page 684, 4 Nephi, verse 29. And it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land. Yea, there were many churches which professed to know Christ, and yet they did deny the more part of his gospel, insomuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness, and did administer that which was sacred unto him to whom it had been forbidden because of unworthiness. And this church did multiply exceedingly because of iniquity, and because of the power of Satan, which should get hold upon their hearts. Verse 30, and because of the power of Satan, which did get hold upon their hearts. What? We talked about this in my Sunday school class, coincidentally. What did the Israelites not get? What did Christ come to teach? They didn't get that it was in their hearts. All they were concerned with was temporal things, about doing these ordinances, these sacrifices that they were given, because the Book of Mormon tells us in chapter 8. What is it chapter 8 of? That's going to drive me crazy. It's in chapter 8 where Abinadi is talking, and he's telling them that they had these ordinances because they were stiff-necked people. Christ came and showed them, this is in your hearts. This is in your hearts. It's about your heart. This parallels us today, without a doubt. These stories, these scriptures parallel us today. This, we need to examine where we are in our lives, where our heart is. Psalm 37:4. You don't have to turn to it. It's very popular. I'm sure all of you can probably quote it. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What did this people desire? Did they desire to delight in the Lord? Numbers. Let's go back to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Verse 4. I'm going to read this. Numbers 11, 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Mixed multitude. I'm going to read this, this definition here. This says, mixed multitude is translated rabble by some commentators. It must refer to the non-Israelites who joined the Exodus. They are the ones who began to complain and stir up Israel. They longed for the fresh vegetables, fish, and meat that they had eaten in Egypt. Mixed multitude. The mix of outsiders. The mix of these people who were not Israelites. They worked to stir them up. To stir them up against God's will. This is a lesson for us. Is your heart and your focus mixed? We just heard this preached this morning. I sat there and smiled, and I checked my notes, and I wrote this down while he was preaching. I typed this into my notes. We just heard this preached this morning. Where is the focus of your life? Just heard it this morning. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. This is where I hope your focus is. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You go back, you don't have to go back and turn back again to Numbers 11 again. But if you go back and you look at Numbers 11:34, it talks about that they buried the people there that died. The people that lusted. lusted. That word, if you look it up, Strong's Hebrew 183, to wish for, or to covet, greatly desire, to be desirous or to long or to lust after. They lusted after more, after something that they didn't need, but yet they wanted. They didn't trust in the Lord. The Lord gave them that manna to show them that he was providing, gave them that miraculous blessing, and they wanted more. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't get your life's priorities, your thoughts, and your desires mixed. Where is your focus in life? Focus on the Lord, and you will have everything you need. Focus on the Lord, and you will have everything you need. These are not idle words. Those are the words and promises of Jesus Christ. Focus on the Lord. Where is your focus? Thank you very much for your time.